The reading for today is from Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 through 28. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land of the Lord. Many in the land of the Lord swore to give your forefathers, as many as the days that the heaven are above the earth. If you carefully observe all these commands I am giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. Every place where you set your foot will be yours. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the Euphrates River to the Western Sea. No man will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God, as he promised you, will put the terror and fear of you on the whole land, wherever you go. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. The curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I command you today by following other gods, which you have not known. This is the word of the Lord.
In 2001, there was a Baptist church in Houston that opened up inside of it McDonald's. There's a McDonald's, actually a place you could go and get limited menu, but all the breakfast things pretty much were there for Sunday mornings. McDonald's right there in the church. And I'm thinking, what is it that people are coming for? And why do you do that in the church, I'm thinking. And then there's a Lutheran church I know that is in Houston. Golly, it's in Houston again. Something about Houston. A Lutheran church that puts out a sign in front of their coffee bar that says, proudly serving Starbucks coffee. And I think, really? Woohoo! Good for you. I like Dunkin' Donuts better. But what's the big deal? Why are you advertising this, and what are people coming for? And it's these mega churches that do this because they're the ones that have enough people to be able to make it profitable. And I'm wondering what it is that they need to be there for. What is it people come to church for? And if those are there to help draw people in, you're drawing in the people that have the wrong motives. And I hope you're teaching them and correcting them pretty quick. I mean, if you're coming to eat, it needs to be to receive the Lord's Supper, his body and blood given and shed for us. That's what we're coming for. We're coming for the Word. We're coming to eat the Word of God, to read, learn, and inwardly digest, as we used to say in one of the old liturgy prayers at the end of the service, to read, learn, and inwardly digest this Word of God. That's what we need to be bringing it into our bodies and what we need to be coming to receive. An Egg McMuffin, the Lord's Supper. Pretty easy call, it would seem. We need to have the right perspective when we come to church about what we're doing and why we're here. We're here to worship our Heavenly Father. We're here to glorify God. We're here to learn how to be better. We're here to learn how to help the rest of the world. We're here because we're sinners in need of hearing again God's grace for us and the forgiveness of sin. And what goes into us is what will come out of us as well. Is It In You was an ad campaign about 15 or so years ago, I think it was, by Gatorade. And it would show all these people, athletes, drinking, whether it was the red Gatorade, the blue Gatorade, the green Gatorade, the white Gatorade. And whatever it was that they drank, as they're working out now, you see their sweat is the color of that Gatorade. It didn't work like that. It was, wouldn't that be cool? But really freak people out. The hospitals would be full. But But that was the idea. What went into you is what's coming out of you. This is giving you the strength, the power to continue on, and it's the one that's giving you the endurance. That's the way it is with the Word of God in our faith life too. What goes into us is what's going to be coming out of us. If we're receiving God's love, if we're receiving God's Word, if we're receiving and being filled up by God's mercy, by God's forgiveness, and by the given and shed for you, the body and blood of Christ, then that's what's in us that gives us the spiritual strength to do what we do and to live for Him. And what will come out of us? The more good that comes into us, the more good will come out of us because that's what we follow, that's what we believe, and that's what we'll share. That's what our faith is about. Not just receiving this forgiveness of sins, but giving this forgiveness of sins to others and to seeking to help them to find this life that we already live. You can tell the people that don't have this Word of God fully in their lives because they're argumentative people, they're angry people, they're people who are severely lost in without the Lord in their expression of this unsatisfied life. They see problems and troubles only. They complain about all kinds of things and don't let things go or don't seek to actually work through those things so that there can be resolution. If the Word of God is not going in, you can't expect it to come out. And some people shut the in valve, if you will, cut themselves off from this Word. We need to continue to seek to have more of God in our lives, in our Bible studies, in our devotions, in our prayers, in our worship. We need to be in this Word of God and have this Word of God inside of us, blessing us so that we can be a blessing to others. And then we can follow with that old phrase, if you will, you know, you are what you eat. What comes in is what's going out. The healthy is coming in. It's going to be more healthy on the out. Yeah, we will ooze, if you will, the Lord of God. The Lord God, the Word of God, the life of God, the love of God comes out of us because He's the one that brings it into us. And we can thank the Lord for that. Is He in you? Yeah. Father's Day, as it comes today, we have this opportunity to thank God in the world. It's a secular thing, but we still recognize in the United States this idea of Father's Day is a good thing, just like Mother's Day is a good thing. And I say the same thing for fathers as I did for mothers. There are some fathers that have had to be mothers and some mothers that have had to be fathers. And then there's been some good fathers and mothers and there's been some bad fathers and mothers that we've dealt with in life. But we all share this one Heavenly Father who is awesome and very good and unites us all as brothers and sisters in Christ. And as such, He's wanting to help us, to teach us, to direct our lives in the right ways. And so we get that read, learn, and inwardly digest kind of understanding that God is there for us. It comes in our passage as the Jews are reminded to take this Word of God, to teach them about it, write them down, these words, then carefully observe these commands, walk in obedience, holding fast to God. And then, if you will, to borrow a line not from the Bible, but from actually Shakespeare, the world is your oyster. In other words, once all this is in, it's going to be a much better place. Not that there will not be troubles and persecutions, but in your life and in the way you perceive things, you will understand that God is there constantly with you. And you will continue to seek to live for the Lord and live as the Lord is in you. Along the way, we're going to teach. God teaches us like a parent. Any father, today's Father's Day, any father, any mother, as they teach their children, there's going to be things that are we have to call discipline. They're not to hurt or harm them. They're to help the children, to help them to learn the right and the wrong, the good and the bad. We want them to be successful. Parents want their children to succeed. Most parents, there are always exceptions. Parents want their children to succeed, to excel. So we pray for them, we teach them, we feed them these good things, and sometimes they don't want it, sometimes they may rebel, but But we're going to keep on giving it to them and telling them what's right. That's what God the Father is doing for us. That's why he told them to take this word of God, to walk along and talk about it, to continue to carefully observe it, to write it down. This memorization is going on, is what's happening. As you do something over and over and over again, you learn it, you remember it, you take it with you. We just said the Nicene Creed a few moments ago. Most of the folks in this room, I would be willing to say, without any cues, if we start off the Nicene Creed, would be able to get through it. We might stumble a little bit, because sometimes once in a while we get a little flippy on the words between the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed if we're not looking at it. But generally speaking, you know that creed. You've said it for years throughout your life. That's why we do the memorization things in confirmation. We take that extra opportunity with our children to feed them even more in this Christian faith, to help them to learn more so that they can carry this Word of God with them where they are, and they're built up in this Word of God. And then as they go out, they're going to let that Word of God out of them in the way that they live, in the way that they behave in the world. It works for children and adults. We teach them. And then we live as that word directs us. As that Gatorade comes in, is it in you? And you're doing the work, out comes the visible effects of what you've received. Visible effects of what we've received from God, we show in our, as the stewardship understanding goes, time, talents, and treasures, how we live for the Lord. What do we do with our time? Do we spend our time in worship and praise and prayer and devotion and study of God's Word? Do we spend our time in other ways instead? And summertime is one of those times where we drop off on things like attendance and offerings and our participation in activities in the church. We kind of take a little bit of a break, and then things all pick up again in the fall for some reason. Never understood the pattern, but it's there. We need to stay in this Word of God all the time. If you were, let's say, okay, I'll tell you what. Take the next few weeks off from eating. As a matter of fact, take 2 months off from eating. We'll get back in 2 months and you can eat again. We'll see how that goes for you. Let me know. Oh, actually, I'm sorry, you wouldn't be able to let me know then. But I would know. If you stopped eating for 2 months, I guarantee you, I would know. I'd be making bulletins for you right now. Take 2 months off from God. Take a month off from God. What happens to our bodies, our spirits, when we just step away from the Word of God for a while? We're told never to do this. There's a blessing and a curse it talks about in our text. We need to continue to hold on to this, to the Word of God, to talk about it, to teach it, to speak as we're walking down the road, wherever we go. There was an added benefit that they had in the days that this was written, in what they were understanding, how they were supposed to be visibly showing themselves as the children of God. And that was with the phylacteries that they had. The have this word in your heart and in your head, but bind it to your foreheads and your hands. And they were called phylacteries. There's a little leather pouch that you would wear on your head. And there would be a leather strap that went around, and just that was how you held it there, but it would stay on your head. And you put one around your arm, set on your hands, but they'd usually put it on their left arm because that's so they could do the work here with their hands and not have it lost, but it's also closest to the heart. And in these little leather pouches were scripture verses. The Word of God was always before them. Some visual evidence that they were to always remember that this Word of God is with them and before them wherever they go. It's also easy to spot other folks that believe the same as you did because they look like you. You could talk about this Word of God as you're walking along. What do we have that's visual for us, or what do we have that's a reminder for us nowadays in the world that we take with us, that we have around us? The Jews were even careful about their going in and going out of their houses. They put the mezuzahs up on their door frames where inside of this little bitty case, box, holder, kind of like a toothpick holder in some cases. Sometimes we've got one in our house. It's a big wooden box, but you'd put the Word of God in there, and they would go up to their doors, and as they were going out, you know, kind of reach up for that blessing, in a sense, recognizing God is going with them, or coming in that God is blessing our house. This was always there at the door frame. Even on their gates, into their properties. They would have these mezuzahs, and the word of God would be there. He said to write it on your doors and on your gates in the scripture. And they did this faithfully. What do we have? We kind of gotten away from that. I mean, we may be able to spot some folks wearing crosses, but you know what? Some people just wear this as an ornament. I've seen ankhs, the Egyptian-style cross, worn by many people that were not Christians for certain. It's a decoration for some. It doesn't have the meaning that it does to the faithful children of God. We had some way to look and identify each other. That'd be kind of cool. Feel a little bit stronger in our faith as we're walking around. We see all these other folks that are Christians that believe the same way we do. Kind of would give us a little bit more strength and confidence, I think. I would challenge you to look for, in the week ahead, for a week, take the opportunity, wherever you go, whatever you do, look for crosses. Look for crosses, wherever you are. I see two right here, Peter and Diane. Hi. Wrong crosses, okay. I love those two, but other crosses, look for crosses. I mean, and it may be a cross, a traditional cross, hanging on a wall somewhere, on a building, in an advertisement, as a sign lit up on a post, whatever, on a church, great. But look for them in the unordinary ways. Where might you see crosses? As a reminder for us. I see crosses all over here in the communion rails. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's a cross in the several crosses right before me. Look for crosses wherever you are. And when you see them in this week ahead, take this opportunity. When you see them, say a prayer for whether it's yourself, someone else in need you know of, but take those opportunities to be blessed by God in recognizing, again, keeping that word of God before us, knowing that God is with us wherever we are. And as you see those, do it. Brief prayer. It doesn't have to be long, but take those opportunities to focus on God and to think about God. God instructs us as a father. And as a father, he wants us to learn. He wants what's good for us, as any good father would for their child. He wants us to excel. He wants us to succeed. And he gives us the word to show us what is right. And he gives us the word to show us what is wrong. And he says, if you follow this, then there will be blessings. You're already blessed. You've already got them. You've got the forgiveness of sins. You've got the promise of life everlasting. If you do not follow them, you will be cursed. This is a harsh word from God. But there is either with God or there is without God. And there is no middle ground. You are with God. You may be struggling, and barely holding on, but you're either struggling, holding on, or you've gone without. And what is in you is what will come out of you, and it will be evident to others. If you seek to live as a child of God, I'm not saying we get it all right. I'm not saying that we're not going to face troubles. I'm not saying that it's not going to be hard. And we're going to flop sometimes and need a brother or sister in Christ to pick us up and help us. But we're going to keep going that direction. We're going to continue to talk about this word of God, to read it, to speak about it as we walk along on the road, as we sit down in our homes, when we lie down and when we get up. We're going to talk about God or talk to God. And we're going to be those children that he desires us to be. With that reminder continually before us, we're going to be more apt to resist the temptations that come our way in the world, because we see how God continues to operate in the world and put himself before us in so many ways. We're going to, as the text also talked about, remember the covenant. For us now, it's the covenant that Jesus gave his life for us, his death and resurrection. And now in following him, there's a commitment that's required. And that commitment is that we're going to live for him, since he's already paid our debt. And we're going to show how this word of God is coming into us by the word of God coming out of us, oozing out of us for all the world to see. And folks will know, like the old camp song, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Is it in you? or better said, is He in you? If He is, then let it show. In Jesus' name, amen.